Dan Marcus's Wax Museum is a podcast, a website, and a Facebook page focusing on conversations I've had with artists from rock and roll's formative years. If you like what you hear, if you're a fan of the genre, please share this with your friends, like us on Facebook, and click subscribe to hear upcoming episodes of Dan Marcus's Wax Museum. Thanks. Steve Cropper is a guitarist's guitarist. He is legendary. During the British invasion years, he was a member of the Shindig TV show House Band. He was a member of Booker T and the MGs, and as such, is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He partnered up with his friend Duck Dunn on a lot of session work for the Stax label out of Memphis. And of course, in the 70s, he got a stint backing the Blues Brothers and famously performed with them not just on Saturday Night Live, but in the movie as well. He's released a number of solo albums, the most recent being Fire It Up in April of 2021. It's a fabulous album. So when I had the opportunity to do a 10-minute phone interview with Steve Cropper, I jumped at the chance. If I have a guitar hero, it's this man, Steve Cropper.
On the phone with me right now, I can't believe I'm talking to this guy. This guy, or no, seriously, Steve, I told you off the air, there's going to be a little hero worship going on here because this is one of the all-time great guitarists. Rolling Stone magazine called my guest on the phone one of the world's 40 greatest guitar players. He's been a member of the Blues Brothers. He has played on songs like Dock of the Bay and Soul Man and Knock on Wood, and the list just goes on and on and on. Steve Cropper, welcome, and thank you for giving me a buzz today.
My pleasure.
You've got a new album out.
And I can tell you.
I'm sorry, say again?
I said it's been a fun ride, and there's a lot of luck put into it. Somebody said, luck? You made it happen. I said, no, I just got lucky.
No, well, I've seen some interviews with you, and you've said right place at the right time, and maybe in that regard you're lucky, but and that's certainly true that luck plays a part in it, but you've got talent that very few people can match, and I'm impressed. And you're humble about it.
I did an interview one time, and they started reading stuff down. I said, damn, I'd like to meet that guy sometime.
That's funny.
When they meet, they were talking about it. I didn't think so, but they were. They were talking about it. I said, oh, man, I didn't know I did all that.
You know,
how'd you do all that stuff? I said, I don't know. I don't know how I did it. If I knew what made life great, I would just bottle it and give it to everybody.
Oh, there
but
you
I
go.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, it stuff happens. You know, just as an aside, I understand what you're talking about because as a 17-year-old kid, I moved to Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, and got a job at the Playboy Club that was there.
There you go.
So stuff happens.
Well,
I get that.
You know, you always have to have a little something to fall back on. and later in life, you don't have to fall so far. It's always there for you. But early in life, you better have something prepared to do in case this other thing doesn't work out.
Well, this whole radio thing came as...
Keep going.
Well, you kind of got sucked into it because of your talent. I mean, there was no avoiding the fact that Steve Cropper belonged in the House Band and Shindig. But I'm not here to talk exclusively about the past. Let's get straight to the new record, Will. It's called Fire It Up. Fire It Up is available now. And it's available, well, first of all, I've heard the tracks on it. I got a preview.
Great.
And there are some, this is just vintage Steve Cropper. Yeah, I mean, the sound is there. It's that trademark Telecaster of yours. And it's called Fire It Up, but that's not the lead-off track on it. It's Bush Hog, which is the
Bush
one.
Bush Hog is the lead-off track.
Yeah, and I fell in love with it.
Which is the only instrumental, and it was John's idea, John Tibbett, the co-producer's idea, to split it up and make it part one, part two.
Okay.
I don't think it was long enough to be part one, part two, but he split it up anyway. I said, okay, it works. And so I heard it, and I said, okay, it works. And that is an interesting groove. We could have done a whole album of instrumentals, but I don't think it was worth doing a whole album. And I'm so glad we got Roger to sing on this. Roger Real is something else, man. He's just great.
Did you do any singing on this at all? Because I was thinking that was you.
A lot of people said, that's you singing. And I said, not this time.
Okay.
This guy could really sing, so that's good. And people had requested that many times in the past. They said, why don't you find a good singer and do an album? and I never thought about doing that. So,
well, this is your first solo album.
Hell, I'm not trying to learn how to sing.
This is your first solo album since what, 1969, I understand.
Somewhere like that, yeah.
Wow. Why so long? You were just too busy.
The reason I say it is because it's particularly, strictly a dance album. It's there with grooves and hard grooves to make you dance. I mean, the lyrics are fine, the ideas are fine too, but the music is really there to make you dance. First dance record I've made in a long time.
It works.
The other albums I've done is either with somebody or it's all about the song and the music and that kind of thing, you know, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's not dedicated to just grooves and dancing, and this one I think is.
Now, a couple of tracks I heard, a vintage Booker T and the MG sound with that trademark Hammond B3 organ with Leslie. Was that a real Hammond B3 in the studio?
Well, it was an M1, same Hammond that we use on Green Onion.
Wow.
It was an M1.
Wow.
Yeah.
I
take that back. Not an M1, but an M3.
Would you call this album... It's 10 songs long, and every song is a gem. Every song is a gem, and I'm gushing a little bit, and I apologize if I'm embarrassing you. But every song is a gem, and every song really sounds like that vintage, not every song, but many of them sound like that vintage Booker T and the MG sound that we came to expect from Steve Cropper and Duck Dunn.
Right. So, you know, this album came... totally out of the fact that we were in a lockdown after the pandemic or during the pandemic. We were in a lockdown and not able to do much. And my theory is you can't keep a good musician down very long.
That's true.
He's going to do something.
That's true.
So the fact that John Tiven, the co-producer, had access to these tracks, he has a studio in his house. And okay. I don't. Never have had.
Okay.
So, but I'm only just down the street here to the RCA before we mixed it. And Tiven lives the other way down the street. He's not really a neighbor, but he's 5 minutes from here or 4 minutes from here. And that's where we wrote most of these songs, over at his house.
So,
and
yeah, I was going to ask.
He had access to it. So he plays multiple instruments. So he was able to put horns on it and bass on things that he took the bass off and redid some of the bass parts. I think we kept the original definitely on Bush Hog and some of them. Put on real drummers, and Noshi Jackson played drums on some of them. We had Anton Figg and a lot of guest drummers that were in town. John was smart enough to get them because we were going to use these tracks in other projects. And some of these tracks have been around for a while, and I had already written them off. I said, well, we'll use them sometime in the future, if it ever comes about. There's about 15 tracks, totally, that we had written.
Okay.
And so at the time, Felix Cavallari and I were doing a project together. And Felix played on a couple of these songs, and then he said, you know, I probably won't play on all of them, and I definitely am not interested in singing all of them. So... we just put them aside and went on somewhere else with it.
So this has been a work in progress for something like 40 years, I guess, huh?
Well, no, not 40 years, but a couple of years.
Do you...
So the tracks have been around in John's house. He had access to them, and I had written them up. But he called me and said, can I finish these tracks up? We'll put out an album. And I'm going, I don't know. I said, if you put out an album and put these together, we're going to need a label and we're going to need a singer. And he said, well, okay, he called me back and said, well, I found a singer, got a label and got a singer. And I said, well, you better play me something. And the first time I heard Roger sing, I said, where's that guy been all my life?
Yeah.
I never heard him sing before.
Yeah.
He's been on many albums, many, many records, you know, that he had. And he sent me copies of them. So
listeners would scold me, Steve, if I didn't ask you something about the Blues Brothers, a favorite memory of Belushi or Aykroyd or How It Happened or filming the movie or being a member of Murph and the Magic Tones, you know?
Right. Murph and the Magic Tones. They asked me, did I have fun making the movie, and I said, absolutely. It's a lot of fun. But the most fun I had in the movie was driving a Cadillac car.
Is that right? Is that
Murph
right?
Murph and the Magic Tone car. That old Cadillac. That was a lot of fun.
What year was that car anyway? Wow.
Oh, my God. 61 or somewhere around
there.
Gee, so
yeah.
It was a great old car.
It was gorgeous.
And when we show up at the Armada Room, so-called, I think that's funny, and we're all getting out of the car in the parking lot, and it looked like it had been raining. They watered it down. It looked like it had been raining and all that sort of stuff. We're all getting out. It's funny.
That's
and when Murphy introduces everybody, that is a fun moment. But I tell a story. They said, "Do you have any funny stories?" Well, there's probably hundreds of funny stories when I think about it.
Well, I'm sure.
The funniest one for me is when we were filming out in L.A., the band, they put the band up in a hotel, and I was living up the street about 3 or 4 minutes from there, and I would go down and catch the van with those guys to go over to Universal Lot, which is right behind the hotel.
Yeah.
And this one particular day on the soundstage, we were going there to rehearse choreography for a scene in the movie. And so I go down there, get in the van with everybody, and the van pulls up, and there's Danny, and he's at the doorway of the soundstage. And he's got his thing. He says, "Shh, it's asleep." He's talking about John. It's asleep. Referred to him. I said, "That's one of the funniest things I've ever heard." It's asleep.
It's asleep.
So obviously, John had found and knew where we were going to, what soundstage we were going to be on, and went there and crashed.
And so he wouldn't. That way, he wouldn't be late.
So that way he wouldn't, he definitely wouldn't miss a rehearsal. So,
oh my, that's
when everybody was there ready to go, of course we woke him up and he was ready to go.
That's awesome. That is awesome. The new album is called Fire It Up. It's available now. Where is it available, Steve Cropper?
Everywhere. SteveCropper.com or Amazon, Spotify, YouTube. Anywhere you want to look, you're going to find this album. So that's good news.
CD, vinyl.
It really has gone all the way to promote it and put it on every site they can put it on to make sure people can get the album if they want it.
This is my new favorite album. I mean, the licks on here, I'm not exaggerating. I really like.
We definitely have something in common. We're still learning how to play guitar, and this is my favorite album too right now. I may have a different one next month. I don't know.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
But right now, it's my favorite album, and it's good.
Steve, we've only
I don't get tired of listening to it. It's a great album.
Oh, no, I won't either. And Steve, I want to... well, it's available, what, CD, vinyl, and digitally as well for download, right?
Right.
Okay.
Absolutely. They get it digitally. They get a CD if they want a CD, if they still have a player to play it on.
Yeah, really?
Somebody told me the other day, I've got an old car. It's got a CD player in it. I said, great.
My old car has got a cassette player in it.
But a record before, I went to lunch with Robin Ford.
Okay.
And during lunch, I said, "Robin, I've got to give you a copy of my new CD." He said, "I think we got a problem." I said, "What's that?" He said, "I don't own a CD player anymore."
Oh, man.
So I have to tell you about this album, and since you like it, you're going to really like it when I tell you what I'm getting ready to tell you.
What's that?
All of the vocals, every one of them, 100% of the vocals were done through an iPod.
Really?
That will blow everybody's mind, absolutely.
Through an iPod?
Because through an iPhone. That's all he had to record on. And we couldn't get him in the studio because of the lockdown. He was locked down in his house up in Rhode Island, and he did it through an iPhone.
An iPhone,
and
wow.
I can't believe it. Even Eddie Gore, my engineer, said, "I cannot believe after we're listening to some mixes in my car after lunch." And he said, "I can't believe those vocals were done with an iPhone."
Wow.
I said, "I can't either."
Wow.
I know it was dubbed down to, it was put down on Pro Tools, but that Pro Tools didn't change the sound any.
No, right. I get that.
Gave us capability of mixing it.
Wow, that's remarkable. That is just remarkable. Steve Cropper, you are an amazing guitarist, and thank you for taking the time to talk with me, and best of luck with Fire It
Absolutely.
Up. Absolutely. Fire It Up was...
We'll fire it up. For a second, I said, in 1921, I was like, my God, that was 100 years ago. 2021, we're going to fire it up.
Steve,
I'm not living that far to pass.
Okay, Steve, take care. And again, thank you for all the music over the years. Take care. Thank you. Bye-bye.